Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 30, 2016, or it is Sleep at 2, 2020. We'll start our first service today with a song entitled In the Garden. I come to the garden, hello, all the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my hair, the sound of your discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none of it has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush the singing, and the melody that he gave to me is as my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go to the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Kingdom of Heaven, Part 3.
Part 2.
This is Kingdom of Heaven Part 2. Okay, let's go to 11 Symbolic Code Number 7. And let's pick up on page 12. And, let's start with a little review here on page 12. Page 11, it says, Isaiah 27:1. In that day the Yahweh with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now this dragon in the sea is Satan, and the sea is the world, the sea of people. In other words, he's going to slay him out from among the nations of the world. And he's going to start right here in the United States. The United States is one of these nations of the world. All right, as we go on, it says, the day this is to happen must be found in the preceding chapter, for this verse is introduced with the words in that day. Therefore, to find the time, we shall read Isaiah 26:20-21. Now we're in 11 Symbolic Code, number 7, and we're on page 12. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Yahweh's indignation is coming upon the earth, and Elohim's people are invited to take shelter somewhere. These verses place the fulfillment of this prophecy in the time of the end of the world, when Elohim will punish the wicked and raise the righteous. Isaiah 27:1. In that day the Yahweh will, with his sore and great and strong wind, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. From the reading of these verses, we clearly see that when Yahweh punishes the inhabitants of the earth, and the earth discloses her blood, Leviathan will be punished, and the dragon that is in the sea is to be slain. Who is the serpent? It is Satan. But how is Satan to be punished and slain at the time this chapter applies? For help on this point, let us turn to Isaiah 14:1-14. For the Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and that's who we are. This is who we are, and this prophecy is meeting its fulfillment now. And will yet choose Israel. He will yet choose Israel. Now, when he says choose Israel, he's talking about the 12 tribes collectively, the 10 tribes, and then he's talking about Judah and Benjamin, the 2 tribes that has been joined back together here in these last days. And they're joined together by this Elijah David. And set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Yahweh for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Yahweh hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. For the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir tree rejoiceth thee, and the cedars of Lebanon sing. Since thou art laid down, no fellow has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Okay, it says, it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from the thrones all the kings of the nation. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, V-I-O-L-S, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is Lucifer talking. For the king of Babylon, in this chapter, is connected with Lucifer. Remember I told you before that Obama, he has been exalted to the throne of Babylon. He's the president of the United States. He's been tagged by me, by the scriptures, as the antitypical Antichrist. He is a Satan incarnate, Lucifer, here in the human flesh. And he's a black man. Lucifer is a black man. Believe it or not, whenever he sinned against Yahweh and was cast out of heaven, his skin was turned black. When Cain rebelled in the Garden of Eden and killed his brother Abel, Yahweh put a mark upon him, and that mark was that he was turned black. And so all the white people that was around him, whenever they saw this black man coming, they knew that he had the curse of Yahweh on him. And then at the flood, Noah and his three sons, I believe his name is Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were his three sons. Ham was the one that defiled Noah and his wife after they got out of the ark. And Yahweh put a curse upon Ham and said he would be a servant to his brothers. And Yahweh turned his skin black, a black man. Okay, that's the same thing that happened with Judas Iscariot, a Jew. Whenever he defied Yeshua and tried to defile that supper table at the Last Supper, Yahweh says, Yeshua said to him, do what you have to do and do it quickly. And so he went out and betrayed our Savior. Well, he became a black man. All these betrayers, these men of sin that are Satan incarnates, that Satan has personally said, whenever Yeshua puts a curse on them, or Yahweh put a curse on them, they are turned black. Okay. So there is a curse upon the black race, period. But they are a remnant among the black race. Even Cain, whenever he had the mark and curse put upon him, he went into another land, was driven out I call it the kingdom, which was outside the Garden of Eden at the time. He was driven over the mountain, and he went, and as the record shows that he married a woman, and I guess it was one of the daughters of Adam and Eve. As time went on, and he raised up children, and they raised up children, and they raised up righteous children. Cain had righteous people descend from him, but he was a black man. So, apparently, Adam and Eve had daughters that also were wicked people. And they also was driven out of the kingdom and had to go into the land where Cain was at. And that's where he hooked up with them. They were his sisters, is what they were. But they were black. Okay. So they were descendants of Cain. That they had to be a black race. But they were righteous people. Okay, it was righteous people that came out of that. That's the reason why we have the black races today. We got righteous people that are among all the black races today. They're called the remnant. Okay? And so anyhow, as we go on, It says the king of Babylon in this chapter is connected with Lucifer, because whatever Babylon aspires and sets out to do is instigated by Satan himself. Likewise, we find the same to be true in the following account of Tyrus. Ezekiel 28:1-13-17. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Okay, so this prince of Tyrus is the same as this one mentioned in Isaiah 14 about this here king of Babylon is Lucifer. Well, this prince of Cyrus is the same thing. He's a king of Babylon. And so Obama, that label fell on him. He's a king of Babylon. And I call it Mystery Babylon. Revelation 17 says it's Mystery Babylon today. Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. It didn't say, I am supreme God, ruler, that created the heavens and the earth. No, he said, he didn't acknowledge that. He didn't say, I am that God that created the heavens and the earth. But he says, I am a God. In other words, he's saying to the Yahweh, the Father, he said, I am a creator, or I am a, not a creator, but I am a God like the God that created the heaven and the earth. That's freedom. It's so important to use the right article when you're stating a fact. Now, if he said if Lucifer had to use the definite article, the, then he'd have said, I am the true God. That's what he'd be saying. I am the true God. And the one that created the heavens and the earth, as you know it, is a false one. See, because whenever he said, I will be like the Most High, I will be, I am a God, like the Most High. In other words, he says, I'm also a God like the Most High, and I'm competing with him. In other words, Lucifer, there's no way that he can create anything. There's no way he can create anything. He can change his appearance. He has the power to change his appearance. And he had the power to get into that serpent in the Garden of Eden and speak through him and deceive Eve. Yeah, he has the power to do that. But he can't create anything. And that's where he says, I am a God. Okay. And I sit in the seat of. Now he says, I sit in the seat of, and then he says of God. But the article was left out. You have to put the definite article in there if he's going to address the creator of the universe, in which he did. So he'd have to say, I sit in the seat of the God, Yahweh Elohim. You see the importance of using these articles? You can't use correct English and explain anything perfectly right if you don't use the words that are supplied for that. Articles, definite and indefinite articles, V and A, are so important that you use the right one every time that you speak a fact. Okay, in the midst, he said, I sit in the seat of the Yahweh, in the midst of the seas. Now here it is. Now what does it say there in Isaiah 27? What does it say there in Isaiah 27? He says, verse 1, in the day that the Yahweh with his sore and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan. And you know who this Leviathan is? That's the king of Babylon. And who's the king of Babylon? Obama. So now who is this Leviathan today then? In that day the Yahweh with his sword and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. And that's the identification that heaven gives this prince of Tyrus, king of Babylon here. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. Well, we know Obama has proved for 8 years as the President of the United States that he is a lying, deceiving, crooked. He hasn't spoke one truth. He hasn't done one policy thing to promulgate the future of the world, and especially of America. Everything he's done is to tear down and destroy. That's all he's done. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So, this your sea is your important word right here. The sea is a sea of people all over the world. It's all the nations that are all over the world. That's in the sea of people. And the United States is one of these countries that's in the world, that's divided, that's classified as one of the nations in the sea. Okay, so now it says, the day this is to happen must be found in the preceding chapter, for this verse is introduced with the words, in that day. Therefore, to find the time, we shall read Isaiah 26:20. Okay, so now, we're back now to catch up with where we left off. We're on page 14 in Ezekiel 28:1-13-17. So it says, I am a God. He didn't say, I am a creator, because he's not. He said, I am a, in other words, I am a deity also. Okay? There's only one deity, and that's Yahweh the Father. Even his son, Yahshua, has a title of a deity, but not the deity. The deity is the Father. A deity is His Son. I am a deity. I sit in the seat of the Creator, Yahweh, in the midst of the seas. I have conquered the world. I overthrew Adam and Eve in the garden, so I took possession of this world. I'm in charge of this world now. So I'm in charge of all the nations of the world. Yet thou art a man. See, if they say, yet thou art a man. Now notice it says here, he's just a man. Now if he said that he was a spiritual man, then that's a different thing. But when it says, yet thou art a man, it means that you're just a fleshly, carnal man. You're not even a righteous person. You're just that. But if he was a spiritual man, he'd say, although thou art a spiritual man, or you, thou art a spiritual man. Notice it says, yet thou art just a man. It could have very well said, a fleshly, carnal, sinful, fallen angel. Lucifer, reduced to the shell of a carnal man, just like all other sinful men here on earth that are bound down with sin. You're just classified as a sinful, carnal individual, just like the. You're worse than a righteous man. You're below a righteous man. You are a carnal, fleshly, fallen angel that has been reduced lower than a righteous man. See, a righteous man is exalted unto the point of heaven, unto heaven in the point of privilege, where he has direct connection with the Heavenly Father, and he is a righteous spiritual man, is exalted above the carnal fleshly man, his neighbor. So Lucifer, he was demoted to this planet, demoted below the spiritual man. In other words, Adam, even after Adam fell, when Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden, Yahweh set up true worship at the east gate of the Garden of Eden, where they brought their sacrifices, and they had to start offering sacrifices for sin to become righteous and spiritual. In order for Adam and Eve now to be classified as spiritual righteous people, Then they had to offer animal sacrifices for their sin that they'd committed in the Garden of Eden. And then they were exalted back unto heaven in point of privilege by virtue of the animal sacrifice, the blood that they finally had to get the blood from an animal that represented the blood of Yahshua. When he finally comes to shed his blood on the cross, that was 4,000 years in the future. So, Satan, the one that caused Adam and Eve to fall, then he was reduced to a common, fleshly, carnal man. And the only way that he could have any power or influence in the world was that he had to deceive the descendants of Adam and Eve. He had to deceive them into sinning themselves. And which he did, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, he deceived Cain into sinning. And when he did that, then he perpetuated sin in the earth. But as long as the descendants of Adam would remain true to the sacrificial system, and everybody remained true to the sacrificial system was born down through the ages, then you would have eradicated sin. But because Satan was left to roam around because he conquered this earth, he was the one that claimed the authority to be in charge of this world now. And so he waited on new people to be born. He waited on new people to be born of Adam and Eve because they were following the sacrificial system. They were no longer influenced by Satan. They had apologized. They repented of their sin for believing Satan in the first place, and they were exalted back unto heaven in point of privilege. And as long as they followed the sacrificial system, what does it say in Galatians 3:19? It says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression." So Adam and Eve is following that law that was added because of transgression. And that would bring them back to perfection and back into harmony with heaven and the acceptance of heaven then. So Satan could only have power in this world if he could deceive the descendants of Adam and Eve. And he deceived their firstborn Cain. And he continued to deceive people all down through the last 6,000 years. And because of that, that's why we're having this confrontation today. Yahweh has brought back the sacrificial system in its true form. Creation calendar, I published, shows you the true time for keeping the feast days, the holy Sabbath day, and all of that. And he brought that back and has restored it. He restored that in 1970 with Verlis Johnson at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. Third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist. Verlis Johnson was indeed a messenger, a servant of Yahweh. He was raised up. He had inspiration. He had inspiration to do exactly what he's called to do, and that was to bring forth an instrument to establish true worship again in the earth. Yahweh established true worship in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And now he has established true worship again here in the end time with Verlis Johnson. Verlis Johnson brought forth the instrument that we have today to perfect this instrument. And all divine institutions have been restored unto this kingdom that we represent today. And so there you have it. To get back to the Garden of Eden, then Yahweh has to first restore all the divine ordained system of true worship. That's the foundation of his kingdom now that he's sitting up here in the end time. That's the reason why we have this name, the Kingdom of Heaven. It has been set up and Yahweh has continued on with us, the Kingdom of Heaven. And so we are continuing to publish the creation calendar that Verlis Johnson started. And we are calling now people to understand this creation calendar, to click on my website. And We need to publish articles and put on my website, the11thhourcall.com, about this creation calendar and the importance of it. Why it was restored and established. Because this is what all the remnant of the earth that are going to be saved, this is what they're going to all come to accept and perform their vows according to the creation calendar. Timeline. Because it gives you the correct time for keeping all feast days during the year. All the Pentecost, the Passover, and the Atonement, and all the new moons. So it gives you the exact correct day for keeping. We just finished the new moon just yesterday. And last night, we closed out a new moon, Sabbath. And so, as we continue on reading now, it says here in Ezekiel 28, verse 1, 2, 13 to 17, it says, I am a deity, a God. This is Lucifer talking. I sit in the seat of the Yahweh in the midst of the seas here on this earth, where I'm confined to. Yet thou art a man. And not, and you're just a carnal, fleshly, just a common, ordinary, fleshly, sinful man. That's all you are. And not Yahweh. You're not Yahweh. How can a sinful, fleshly, carnal man that also has a death sentence on him? Lucifer has a death sentence on him now. He's going to die just like all sinners are going to die. Once they're classified as sinners, If they don't repent and confess and get back to performing their vows, then to become righteous, then they can't. They're not going to escape the death sentence. Oh, they might die in this world, but it's only temporarily. A righteous man will die, but he comes forth in the resurrection to live eternally. That's not the permanent death. The wicked are going to die the permanent death. Okay, so it says, and not Yahweh, though thou sit thine heart as the heart of Yahweh. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of Yahweh. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. This is Lucifer when he was created in heaven as the covering cherub. He was in his perfect state. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of Yahweh. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of the Yahweh. The mountain of the Yahweh means out of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Okay. So now, in order to cast Satan out of the church here on earth, he has to be in the church. He has to be in there. And the church today is the Seventh-day Adventist church. This is the church he's talking about. I'm going to cast him out. Okay. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee unto the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. You recognize this description as being that of the Lucifer. Yet the prophecy is addressed unto the prince of Tyrus, just as Isaiah 14 associated the king of Babylon with Lucifer. By this we are to understand that both Tyrus and Babylon are instigated by Satan and are set up to do on earth the identical wicked work that Satan did originally in heaven. But we are here told that Satan's defeat and these endeavors will be complete and shameful. In that day, the Yahweh with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, as the king of Babylon, which is Obama. And we have narrowed it down to one man, and we have to give a name, place, face, and date now on this prophecy of Leviathan. And that is Obama. He has his identity established in 2009 when he became the president of the United States. 2008, actually, when he was campaigning and announced his presidency, that he was running for president, 2008 to 2016. 8 years. He's had 8 years. And he's proved who he is. He's a king of Babylon. I say spiritual Babylon. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's a king of mystery Babylon. What Revelation 17 calls it, mystery Babylon. Okay? The piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. A vineyard of red wine. Okay? So, the king of Babylon, he has a vineyard. But it's a vineyard of red wine. Okay? And now keep in mind, anytime you see the word red, it means sin. It always stands for sin. So he has a sinful vineyard. Okay? In the day the dragon is slain in the sea, someone is to sing a vineyard of red wine. Oh. In the day the dragon is slain in the sea, someone is to sing a vineyard of red wine. Well, that someone is antitypical Elijah. Malachi 4:5. And that's the one that's talking to you right now. Elijah David. He's the one that's explaining and interpreting this prophecy of Leviathan, the dragon that's slain in the sea. This prince of Tyrus, this king of Babylon, I just read to you. They're all one and the same. There is then to be a vineyard of red wine. In other words, there is to be a church or a kingdom. A kingdom of sin. Kingdom of sin. And there is to be singing about it. And there is to be singing about it because it is a rich vineyard producing good fruit, righteous people. Okay, now, what we got going here? Red represents sin. And here Vichy Hall is saying that there is to be singing about it because it is a rich vineyard producing good fruit, righteous people. The song for the vineyard is sung when Yahweh punishes Leviathan. Okay. So, this vineyard of red wine, then when he punishes Leviathan, and brings this sinful kingdom to his sinful kingdom to an end, then that's when it becomes, and who's going to bring it to the end? The righteous people. Okay? It cannot be sung now because Yahweh does not yet have this rich, productive vineyard. The rest of this chapter tells how he is to obtain it. Okay, it sounds confusing, all right, because keep in mind, red always represents sin. no matter how you call it. B.T. Hollis made this statement many times in his writing, that red represents sin. Just like the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17, represents sin. It's red. Okay? Isaiah 27:3, I, Yahweh, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. This obviously is the Yahshua's vineyard, which he is to have at that day, and which he is to keep night and day, lest any hurt it. If he must so carefully keep it, lest any hurt it, the vineyard must therefore exist in a time of danger. Okay. So we're learning something new here. Because this kingdom has already been established. Foundation was laid in 1970 with Creation Counter by Burles W. Johnson, restoring the sanctuary system back to its rightful order and establishing the ordained system of true worship by keeping all of the holy days at the right time for the right reason. Okay? And that started in 1970. And Brother Johnson had a sinful kingdom. He had a sinful kingdom. He was in charge, and the reason I say that is because Amos 9 tells us so. The prophecy of Amos 9 is also about this very same kingdom and time that we're talking about here. In Isaiah 27, Amos chapter 9 also had a lot to say about this sinful kingdom, and I'm gonna read it to you. If I can hurry to get to it. We're going to read the whole chapter of Amos 9. It only has 14 verses. It says verse 1. No, I'm sorry. It has 15 verses. Amos 9, verse 1. I saw the Yahweh stand upon the altar. Actually, this is the Yahshua. I saw the Yahshua stand upon the altar. That's in the sanctuary. And he said, smite the lintel of the door. Okay, now, that's the first apartment where the altar of remissions is at. It's in the first apartment. Now, he said, strike the lintel of the door. That means open up that curtain between the two apartments, the holy and the most holy. This is on the Day of Atonement, folks. That the posts may shake and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword. And it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Yahweh Elohim of the host is he that touches the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stores in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth, Yahshua is his name. This is all upper and lower case where it says Lord, that the writers usually are referring to Yahshua the Son whenever they do that. When they're referring to the Father, they put the Lord in all uppercase, all capital letters. That's the reason I said Yahshua here. Verse 7, Amos 9. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Saith the Yahshua. Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? And then we know that Yahweh, through his son Yahshua, was the one that he sent to join up with Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he brought them to the wilderness. He brought them to the Red Sea, and he brought them through the Red Sea. And here it says so right here. This is Yahshua talking. He says, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Saith Yahshua, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? And we know that Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he says, Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that worked with Moses to bring the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. So this is Yahshua. And the Philistines from Captor and the Syrians from Kir, behold the eyes of Yahweh Elohim, and it says all upper and lower case here, so it says Lord God, and so I'm going to do one here. It says, behold the eyes of the Yahshua, okay, Yahshua the Messiah, are upon the sinful kingdom. His eyes are upon the sinful kingdom. Matter of fact, Yahshua is the one that brought the sinful kingdom at Kermit, Texas to a close in 2002. He came to the threshold of the house. Brother Johnson even announced and said Yahshua was going to be there at the Passover. He said he's going to be here in person. And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. Now he's talking about this kingdom at Kermit, Texas. That he did in 2002, and he literally destroyed it off the face of the earth. Saying that I will utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Yahshua. He said, I'm not going to utterly destroy it. That's the reason why he pulled me out of there representing this antitypical Jacob. At his term of Texas, 2003, he pulled me out of there. 2002, took a whole year. That he bring judgment upon Gilead Center. And Gilead Center turned into the Mount of Esau. I'll read Obadiah, the whole chapter, verse one chapter. Say, I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. That's the kingdom of David, saith Yahweh. Oh, Yahshua, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, ye shall not, yet as shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruin. And I will build it as in the days of old. Did you get that? Verse 10 said, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. What's the sword? Hebrews 4:12. The sword of the Spirit, His Word. Which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us from accomplishing what we were called to do. In other words, Brother Johnson is saying, the evil is not going to overtake us or prevent us from continuing on the leadership of her Gilead Center in 2002. He said, it's not going to do it. The evil is not going to overtake us. And he called me evil. He called me the threat to the church that's trying to bring it down. And Brother Johnson fought. He had 1 year to fight against me. Yahweh gave him 1 year. I stayed there from the time the fight began at Passover 2002, and I stayed there until the Passover 2003. And during the week before the Passover 2003, I was in touch with Brother Johnson on the phone and invited him to come and repent and of all of his sins and wrongs that he had committed. I gave him an invitation to come and join have the Passover with us. I was conducting the Passover. said, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. Well, that tabernacle of David was raised up in 2002 at Carmel, Texas, with Yahshua choosing his servant Elijah David to raise it up. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. That's what we're in the process of doing right now. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. The remnant of Edom, I just told you. Esau, Mount Edom. Obadiah, chapter, the whole chapter. And of all the heathen which are called by my name. Look at that. So the heathen that are called by his name are the Seventh-day Adventist Church, spiritual Israel today. They're the heathen that it's talking about here. Which are called by my name, saith Yahshua, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. Well, see, Brother Johnson was a reaper. I represented the plowman. Determined, and I overtook him. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. So when I established Matthew 20 and the five groups of laborers and give them a name, place, face, and date for their occupying the vineyard, starting with Moses coming out of Egypt, clear down to our day, those five groups of laborers had five individual movements that they were put in charge of. And Yahshua had the second movement there in Matthew 20. He had the second one at the cross. Yahshua himself headed up the second movement. The third movement was headed up by William Miller in 1833, the 2300 day prophecy. The fourth movement was headed up by the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844 as the ninth hour call laborers. William Miller was the sixth hour call. And then the fifth, the 11th hour call laborers took place. The movement, the 11th hour movement, was it was called in 2002 with the new leader Elijah David as the head of it. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build a waste city and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon the land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith Yahshua, my Savior. And then Obadiah, that ends Amos chapter 9, and then the next book is Obadiah. I just told you about it. And matter of fact, I believe we have enough time. I think I'll try to read that whole chapter of Obadiah to you. Let's see if I don't need to pick up back then. No, let's go and pick up back with, you can read Obadiah, the chapter, for yourself. When you're through with this sermon, I'm going to go back to where I left off here in 11 Symbolic Code number 7. I'm on page 16 down at the bottom. I'm on Isaiah 27, 4 and 5. Fury is not in me. Who would sit the briars and thorns against me in the battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. The implication here is that there are briars and thorns, and that if they should be set against him in battle, they would be destroyed together. The briars and thorns must represent people who fight against Yahweh. Okay. So the briars and the thorns was the Adventist Church from 1844 to clear up to right to this very day of November the 30th, 2016. The briars and the thorns are in the Adventist Church still fighting against Yahshua and his chosen servant to restore this everlasting kingdom of heaven. They're still fighting against him. Who it says, who fight against Yahweh by fighting against his truth. Okay. This scripture says that those who fight against him will surely perish together, that he who takes hold of Yahweh's strength for peace will receive peace. In other words, the briars and thorns need not remain such in this case. They can be converted if they would. These verses, therefore, clearly present a choice. If there is offered to a people the choice to take hold of Yahweh and live or battle against Him and perish, that choice must be coming to them in a message, in truth. If they take His truth, then they would be taking hold of His strength, and those who choose to fight the truth will not win, but will perish together. Okay, I had one man that escaped with us out of Kermit, Texas, my wife and myself, and Alan DeLong escaped the judgment there. We came to the judgment at Gilead Center in 2002, and that judgment lasted a whole year, folks, on Kermit, Texas. It started at Passover 2002 and ended at Passover of 2003. They had a whole year. And you find that prophecy in Zechariah chapter 3. In one day, he says. A day for a year. Ezekiel 4:9 says a day is for a year. Okay. So, anciently Yahweh was furious with His people and was tempted to cast them away for every root and away forever, root and branch. But here He says that fury is not in Him. He is long-suffering toward His people, and He is anxious that all should take hold of His strength and be at peace with Him. That very choice is found in the message we bear today, as the message makes its way through the ranks of the church. We see some take hold of His strength and rejoice in the truth, and we also plan to see the briars and thorns sit in the battle against the Yahweh. Though fury is not in Yahweh, and though He is not willing that any should perish, yet He declares that those who will not take hold of His strength by accepting His truth must lose out. Isaiah 27:6, He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Okay, those that come of Jacob will take root. This is the house of David. This is who we represent today. The kingdom of David, which is the same thing as the kingdom of heaven, restored to sit up here on earth. Here in the 12th parabolic era that we're in now, says those that come of Jacob, in other words, come of the house of David, will take root. It implies that not all are coming. Okay? So Gilead Center proves it, because that's where the drama played out at for 33 years in Kermit, Texas, from 1970 to 2003, between Esau and Jacob. But those that do come will take root. The others will die. Those that take root are of Jacob. We all know that the scriptures say that the 144,000 are all of Jacob, for they are Israelites. The verse we are now studying says that those that come of Jacob shall take root, and Israel shall blossom and grow and fill the face of the world with fruit. These words are so plain they do not need interpretation. Using the analogy that an apple, a tree, bears apples and not plums or something else, we may draw the lesson that the Israelites that take root are the 144,000 that will bring forth converts unto Israel. Now I had to supply a verb there. Okay. They are the 144,000, and then I had to use a preposition that will bring forth converts unto Israel. And then I use a compound preposition to say unto Israel. These converts will be Israelites either by birth or by being grafted in, as the Paul describes, into that Paul described in Romans chapter 11. Okay, says, we have learned so far in our study of this chapter that when the briars and thorns fight against Yahweh, that's the sinners in Zion, and Mount Zion started out with the Adventist Church, and that's who we're talking about. Those briars and thorns that fight against Yahweh and the advancing truth, it is at that time that those of Jacob shall take root. Okay? That could not be after the close of probation, for it is after they take root that they fill the face of the world with fruit. This brings in verse 10, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Call on us, number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message. And more, we're going to close now with a song. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, by the Elijah David. Oh, y'all, how often I've drifted at the pleasures of this earth's home. Many times your Spirit tried to draw me, and so many times I would not let go. Footsteps grew weary. Each step that I would take brought me pain. But now I'm rejoicing, I'm so happy, because I'm now called by His name. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I am ready for my harvest of joy. All the pleasures of this world are far behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, take me home. Oftentimes in this world I've been burdened by the cares of the thoughts of this sin. Then one day an amazing thing happened. By God's grace, I was healed from within. Show me now, Holy Spirit, show me. I'm ready for my heart is filled with joy. All the pleasures of this world are far behind me. Tell me now, Holy Spirit.